Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, Always waiting for something good to find. Tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace. So knowing failure ain't an option, I've been promised and I'm on my way. Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
Thy words the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking to a promise. Walking to a better land. Said I believe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Almighty Yah. Thank you, Father, for this struggle this morning, Father. I thank you, Father, for it, Father, kind of helped me get energized, Father. I just pray now that your spirit be with us still, and Father, that you walk with us on this journey, Father, that you give us your word, Father, that you bless us with the wisdom and understanding that we need, Father. I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Father, that are suffering with any ailments, whether mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally. I just ask now, Father, that your spirit still continue to guide us. We thank you for the message that we received last night, Father Yah. We thank you for that meal. We thank you for sustaining us and giving us life today, Father. And we just ask now, Father, for your continued patience, your long suffering with us, Father, and that, Father, you continue to show us mercy and kindness, Father. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Hallelujah, loud and clear. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, let me get this in. Let me do this part first. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered the truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah, family. Man, I don't know what was going on with that family. You know, once I heard that Rabbi logged in and he couldn't be heard, I thought maybe it was something on my end. So, you know, we had a technical difficulty here with Blog Talk Radio. You know, it seemed like the opponent got up in the system and didn't want a message to be heard today. So, shalom, Shabbat shalom. This is your brother Ahav El coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland with Beth Yahweh Congregation. And this is another episode, the fourth episode of a series entitled Judgment. And study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. First off, again, all praise, all glory, all honor be to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, for all that he does, all that he continues to do. And we're going to ask him now to continue to bind up and subdue the devil, the opponent, so that this word can get out today. You know, and family, if you are experiencing any difficulties, any challenges on this Shabbat day, just push on through and keep working. You know, they say perseverance overcomes adversity, family. So, and we have an adversary sometimes that tries to do his work, but you know what? We ain't going to give him the blame. We're going to give y'all the glory because he deserves all glory and honor. So today we have the fourth installment of Judgment, and this one is entitled The Abominations Israel Committed in Yahweh's Sight. And you might be asking yourself at this point, why Ahav El? Why do you keep going over this stuff? Why do you keep talking about this stuff? Why? We don't really care to hear about this stuff. But you know what, family? If he is going to come back for a church, for a people, that the requirement is that they be without spot or wrinkle. And when he says spot or wrinkle, he literally means he wants us to be clean and starched by the time he comes back. We can't have no wrinkles in our garments. We can't have no stains on our garments. He wants a pure people when he returns to do a work. And in order for that to take place, we must understand the journey of how our foreparents got us here. They got us here. And he, by his grace, by his mercy, and his kindness, plucked us out. He redeemed us. He showed us the ultimate mercy in our time for the things that were done before our time. And I don't think sometimes I don't think Yisrael, and when I say Yisrael, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about in general, all the people that are coming into this knowledge now, coming into this understanding, you know, and, you know, they have these haughty spirits, they have these this angst with them, like, you know, the world owes them something, like almost like Yah owes them something, when he don't owe us nothing. To the contrary, we owe him a great deal. And oftentimes, I think we forget how we got here. And the sad part about it is the more I see some of our actions, and this is why Ahav El is driven to talk about this. Because the more I see these actions as we come into this knowledge, as we come into this way, and I mean by and large, I'm talking about the people all over the world, that are starting to identify themselves as Hebrews and Israelites. And we see a lot of these actions and a lot of things that we are getting involved in. It's important. I had a conversation with a brother yesterday, and he was saying how you see the reprobate minds among Israel. But yet at the same time, you have those who don't know anything, who are totally clueless, who are totally out there, that are lost and are looking for the truth, that are looking for the way. And oftentimes in innocence, and I know of a brother who went that way first, but Yahweh, by his grace and his mercy, took him another way. Why? And that question has to be asked, why? What decision, when you were faced, or what reason, when you were faced with both, you chose one over the other? Because they have the louder voice. I came across them first in my journey. I came across the Hebrew Israelites, the mainstream Hebrew Israelites, first in my journey. That's my confession. But there was just something there that was missing. There was something that just didn't settle in my spirit. But why does it settle in some people's spirit and they are sold out? They're 10 toes in to whatever is being talked to, even people who have come across us. They hear those teachings and they gravitate to those teachings. Those teachings are appealing to them. And even though they may have come out of very sound doctrine, with line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, something in them said, that is the way to go. Even though the scriptures say, broad is the way, this is Yahushua saying this, broad is the way and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction. But the path to salvation, the path to redemption is a very, very narrow path, family. Very narrow. As Ezra put it in one of his books, in the Apocrypha, you're walking across this very narrow way. On one side, tumultuous water, that if you fall in, you're sure to drown. On the other side, endless fire, that if you fall in, you're going to burn up. But he said it's a very fine pathway and that you have to kind of shuffle across this pathway. But many are going that way. A whole lot of us. But this has been the history of our forefathers. This has been the history of our people. And the one thing that we should see as we see these things on social media is understand that nothing has changed with Israel. As a matter of fact, let me start reading some of this word here, family. And don't get upset with Ahab El because he pulls out accounts from the scriptures. This is our history. So do we want to be just like the people, the Egyptians, who didn't want to tell our story, who kept us in ignorance? Do we want to be like what we're experiencing here in this current captivity, where they don't tell us anything about our experience? This is if you want the good to be told, you must also be willing to accept the not so good that is part of our history. And that's a fact, family. And the negative parts of our history have ended us up where we are today. And it's going to be detrimental to us in the future. Because right now a lot is at stake. You know what is at stake right now, family? Souls that are either going to inherit the kingdom and eternal life, or souls that are not going to inherit the kingdom. And there are people out there who may sincerely want to hear the truth, the pure, unadulterated truth, and not that we have it in its totality. I'm not saying that Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore has all of that. I'm not saying that at all. But there are a lot of false teachings out there. And I'm not talking about other faiths. I'm talking about within our faith. And you have a lot of people that are leading people astray. And these things have to be brought to light. These things have to be told. And again, I can't forget this sister's question, a sincere question. What did we do? Do you really want the answer? Because if you want the answer, it's a painful answer. You know what it's like? Somebody who, I'll use myself as an example. Heart disease runs in my family, right? High blood pressure, hypertension, you know, cancer runs in my family also. Mother had a stroke. Father died of cancer. If I continue down one particular path and I get cancer as a result of my actions and that in turn costs me my life, when I know that there are preventive measures that I can take now in order to prevent that, or or lessen the likelihood that I will die or get and or die from cancer if I want to live a longer life. If Yahweh blessed me with such, with good health, then that means there's certain actions that I need to take now in order to try to achieve that, as my brother was talking about last night, a goal. My brother stated last night, he has a spiritual goal in mind. How many of us heard that message and may not have had one and said, when I heard that message last night, I was like, dad, you daggone right. He has a spiritual goal in mind. He has an end that he is trying to attain. Something that he has set for himself to say, you know what? I want to achieve that mark. How many of us have done the same with our life? How many of us have taken an inventory of our life and said, you know what? This lines up with the goal. This does not line up with the goal. And how many of us say, well, I'm going to strengthen this and I'm going to let go of this? Because certain things cannot enter into the new life that we are promised to inherit. If we end this marathon that we are on, if we reach the goal of this race, as Paul stated, it's not for the swift, but him that endureth to the end, the very same shall be saved. How many of us have that goal and will let nothing deter us from achieving that goal? Because the scriptures say there's going to be a lot of people falling away. And don't just think falling away because they quit, falling away because they couldn't endure, falling away because they got distracted by a lot of the false teachings that are out there. When I heard that a brother or a sister was threatened by a fellow Hebrew Israelite that they would send a spirit to them, we're not supposed to be dealing in stuff like that. We're not. And we're going to see by way of the scripture that we're not supposed to be dealing in certain things at all. But we are, and our foreparents have, and somebody has to tell it. There's somebody who has to set the record straight. There's somebody that has to say, look, hey, we're going the wrong way. The scriptures say, tell the truth, whether they hear or forbear. If somebody tells you the truth and you choose not to listen to the truth, you can't blame anybody else. You can't blame anybody else but yourself and the fact that you chose to ignore. First reading, family, is going to be from Psalms 96 and 1. It says, oh, sing unto Yahweh a new song. Sing unto Yahweh all the earth. Sing unto Yahweh. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all of the gods of the nations are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. And let's stop there for a second. Excuse me, family. Pardon me. Let's stop there for a second and look at this word. When he says, for all the gods of the nations are idols. Let's pause there for a second. It's in the Hebrew section, 4:5-7. Hebrew 4:5-7. And it is Alil, right? And it says, apparently from 4:8-8, and we'll go look at that. Good for nothing, by analogy, vain or vanity, specifically an idol. Idol, no value, thing of naught. And think about that for a second. Something that has no value. That means it's worth less than a penny in monetary terms. That means it's useless to you. If something has no value, what good is it to you? And when we think of even when the preacher states, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Except what? To serve Yahweh. You know, going over some parts of the opponent again, Ma Shatan, or who is Satan? One of the things that struck me the most about what Satan's one of Satan's purposes is, he has a few purposes, but his main purpose, of course, we know, is to keep us from attaining salvation, keeping us from that relationship with our Heavenly Father and through his son, Yahushua HaMashiach. But you know, one of the things that I realized that he also strives very hard to achieve, he doesn't want us to hear the Father's voice. He doesn't want us to hear the Son's voice. When you think about what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden and what their life was, especially Adam's life, before he ate of the fruit, he was able to hear Yah, hear his Creator's voice directly. He was able to have a direct contact with him, have a direct relationship with him. And once they listened to the serpent and followed his directions, they no longer had the opportunity to hear directly the voice of the living God. But think back to what we went over a few weeks ago, family. After he redeemed us from Egyptian bondage, the first thing he made sure that we got in right again was to hear his voice once again. Think about that. And his voice was so powerful, he said, you know what? You don't speak to us. All that you say, we will hear and do. But you know what? Say it through Moshe. Don't speak to us directly. Your voice is too strong, too powerful for us. So we need a kindler, gentler voice. A more human-sounding voice. Because your voice was too powerful for our souls to bear. But it said they spoke well in doing that. But how many now are hearing Moshe? Because Moshe, as my brother stated last night, had this special relationship with Yah to the point where he was different. So different that people couldn't bear to look at him. He had to hide his visage from them. But he had that direct connect. But that's one of the opponent's main tasks, is to keep us from hearing his voice. Back to what we were talking about, family. Right? So idols, wait a minute. I need to go back into that a little bit more. And we have a word in there. It's embedded in it, Hebrew 408, family. And it's just all. A negative particle akin to 308. Not the qualified negation used as a deprecative. I got to look that word up. As a noun, nothing, nay, neither, never, no, nor, not, nothing, worth nothing. So when you think about what we are learning from the psalmist in this scripture about the gods of the nations and him saying that they are idle, he's letting us know they are nothing. But Yahweh made the heavens and the earth. Now 96:6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto Yahweh, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength. Give unto Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Yahweh in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him, reverence, yirah before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen, Yahweh reigneth. Read that again. Say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth. Why can they say that? Why can he say that? Because we are the only nation that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that their mighty one exists. Why? Because they heard his voice. Why? They had an experience with him. They had an experience with him. They have knowledge of him. They have knowledge of him because they have an experience of him. That is not something to be taken lightly. So again, 96:10, say among the heathen, Yahweh reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Let me read that again because they kind of messed that up. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before Yahweh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Leviticus 20, family. And I'm going here because y'all got to walk with me for a little bit. So you got to go through some things. Leviticus 20:1 says, And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of the seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people and that soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards and do go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh, which sanctify you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that curses his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And I'm going to skip down to 20 and 22, family. You can read that later. It's talking about, as a matter of fact, let's read that. Because you know what? It's important because it's rampant our society today and among our community. Excuse me. Pardon me, family. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, and he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. Not go on Maury Povich and hear that out. You don't go on Maury Povich and do that, but that's what we do in this day and hour. And I've seen that on Maury Povich. And if a man lie with the beast, 20:15, and if a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lay down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain. And she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes, 2022 family. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am Yahweh, your mighty one, which has separated you from other people. Let's read that again. I am Yahweh, your holy, your mighty one, which have separated, sanctified, Kodesh, you from other people. He has set us apart from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable, your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. We have a witch's coven in Baltimore City, not among people of other nations, but a sisterhood. When I say a sisterhood, I mean among the sisters. As in African Americans. Yes, we have a witch's coven of African Americans here in Baltimore City. And we wonder why we are having the problems that we are having. That is no light thing in Yahweh's eyes. But now it's fashionable among our community. Fashionable thing to be into these esoteric arts, into witchcraft, into wizardry. Even those sisters, and you don't have to take my word for it, go check it out for yourself, all them sisters that are over that BLM movement, that's the sort of stuff that they're into. That's the way that they are leading masses of people down this road of destruction, off of the backs of dead black men, which they personally have no interest in at all. The sister that's running for governor of the state of Atlanta, you know what what she says is the number one issue among her constituents, which is African American, isn't the economy. It's the abortion of children. She said that is the issue that is driving right now. The number one issue among her constituents, black Americans, is abortion. Not the economy, not gas prices, not the price of bread, milk, and eggs, but the right to abort black babies. That's what she says is the number one issue that is driving this current election cycle that we're in. That's what she's saying. While her counterpart, a white man, is against it, saving the lives of hundreds of thousands of black babies. That's what he's running his platform on, along with the economy. But he is anti-abortion. He is pro-life. But the hive mind among us can't see that. All we see is skin color. And don't realize that the agendas that we are standing behind, that we are walking arm in arm with, leads to nothing but death and destruction. But it's okay because it's a sister though. She black, so we should just support her. I'm of a different mindset when it comes to stuff like that. And I'm not talking politics, just in general. Those same Egyptians, we looked just like them when we were enslaved in Egypt. We looked exactly like them. And again, they didn't dislike us because of our skin color. They disliked us because of the God we served and the authority that we wanted to sit under. So a skin color ain't going to love you any more or any less just because it's the same skin color. History has proven that time and time again. And one color not necessarily going to hate you more just because you have a different color. So be careful as they're spinning these things in our mind in these news cycles that try to get our emotions and our feelings involved. Look behind what they're saying. Look behind what they're telling us. Look behind the veil of media agendas. Not everybody they're trying to promote as being crazy is really crazy. If you take time to really listen to what they've said and not the 5 or 10 seconds of snippets that the media wants to show you. Remember, they are agents of the opponent. He is the prince of the power of the air. So anything that goes over the airwaves, you have to vet it by the truth of the word of Yah. And if for some reason something doesn't settle with you, pray about it. Ask Yahweh to reveal it. Ask Yahweh to show you what's really going on. And trust me, he will show you. He will be more than happy to show you what. If you're his child, guess what? He said, that which I reveal belongs to you and your sons. That which I conceal belongs to me and me forever. And if it's something that's out there that's part of his prophetic mission, he gave us prophets. He gave us the Ruach HaKodesh to lead and guide us into all truth. So all you got to do is pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of the Son Yahushua and say, what is the agenda behind this? What's really going on behind this? And he'll show you, even if it doesn't last on social media, but for more than 5 seconds, he'll at least give you 5 seconds of clarity so that you can say, aha, and I know now. And thank you, Abba. All praise and glory and honor is due to your name. Leviticus 22, 31 to 33, family. It says, therefore, shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am Yahweh. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. For I am Yahweh, which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your mighty one. I am Yahweh. Deuteronomy 18, and these are just some scriptures I want to go through before we get into some of the additional reading, family. Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 9. When thou art come into the land, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto Yahweh. And because of these abominations, Yahweh thy Elohim doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with Yahweh the Elohim. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, Yahweh thy Elohim hath not suffered thee to do so. Now, let's move on to Daniel. And I wanted to just set those scriptures up because as we start, I'm not going through the whole book of Daniel, just particular parts of Daniel. As a matter of fact, I may not go through much of Daniel. Most of what I have to go through is going to be in Jeremiah and 2 Kings. Because this is the reason why we went into Babylonian captivity, which after the Babylonian of captivity, Israel was never the same after that. That was the beginning of the end. Well, we know the other tribes went into the Assyrian captivity. Scriptures doesn't give an account what happened to them after that. What we learned about after the Babylonian captivity all the way down into the quote-unquote New Testament and beyond was what happened specifically with Judah, those that were the remnants of Judah, which later became known as the Jews. Daniel 1:1 reads, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand." Talking about Nebuchadnezzar. "He gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand." And listen to this. "With parts of the vessels of the house of Yah, which he carried into the land of Shinar," which is today, present day Iraq. Babylon, believe it or not, still exists. And not just in a euphemistic form, it still exists. There are biblical archaeologists that are over there right now finding artifacts that are proving that Babylon, one, existed. They found recently a tablet with Nebuchadnezzar's name on it in that ancient language. So what we call today as modern Iraq was once Babylonia, where our family members, our foreparents, were brought into captivity. So there are historical facts on the record to show that he existed. And if he existed, that means this right here, what we're learning about, is the truth. It's our record that Yahweh left for us. Again, Daniel 1:2. "And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of Elohim, which he carried into the land of Shinar," which is modern-day Iraq, "to the house of his God," Nebuchadnezzar's God, "and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." All right, so let's stop there, because the reason why Jehoiakim, king of Judah, is being mentioned is not to just gloss over, as we have learned. Just don't read over it. Let's find out some history of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. So now, we're going to learn a little bit about him in 2 Kings 23, family. So walk with me over to 2 Kings 23. And also, they spell Jehoiakim J-E-H-O-I-A-K-I-M, but he's also in the apocryphal books as Joachim, J-O-A-K-I-M. And it gives us the apocryphal. I'm not going to go into the apocryphal books about it, but the apocryphal also gives us some insight into this king and who he was and the things that he did, right? So let's go to 2 Kings 23, and I'm going to start at verse 1. "And the king sent, and they gathered unto all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in the ears of all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Yahweh. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of Yahweh all the vessels that were made for Baal." Let's read that again. "The king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door." That's significant. The keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of Yahweh all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes unto Bethel. Y'all hearing that? Our foreparents allowed within the holy temple vessels that were made to Baalim and for the grove. Who is the grove? Easter, Ashtoreth. This is what our foreparents were doing while they were free. They weren't in captivity at this point. But let's move on, family. 23:5. "And he put down the idolatrous priests." Whoa, wait a minute. What? The idolatrous priests? We ain't in captivity. We are in Yerushalayim. "And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Yehuda had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Yehuda, Judah, in the places where those who praise Yah existed, and in the places round about Yerushalayim, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. Didn't we just read that Yahweh said, anybody who does that is supposed to be put to death? But this is the leadership allowing this to go on in Jerusalem, in the land of Judea, among Judah, the tribe, the kingly tribe. This is what's going on in their house. Not in their house, in Yahweh's house. This is what's going on in the temple, family. They burn incense to Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. But he said, don't do that. And he brought out the grove from the house of Yahweh, 23:6. And he brought out the grove from the house of Yahweh without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder there upon the graves of the children of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house. Hold up. Let's not read over that. Remember where we are. We're in Jerusalem. We're in the land of Judea. We're among the tribe of Judah. And guess what existed there? 23:7 says, and he brake down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of Yahweh, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the city of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Yahushua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of Yahweh in Jerusalem, but did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which was in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. Didn't we just read that we are not supposed to bring our children through the fire of Molech? This was something that was told to us by Moshe, which came from Yahweh, but we were doing it. We were doing it. This ain't the book of the Gentiles. This ain't the book of the other nations. This is the account of what's going on among us. And he defiled, 23:10 again, and he defiled Topheth, which was in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Jehuda had given to the son, S-U-N son, at the entering of the house of Yahweh, by the chamber of Naphan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the son with fire. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Achaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of Yahweh, did the king beat down and break down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook of Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the road, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidions, the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites. Did y'all hear that? Solomon, the king of Israel, had built it for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was in was at Bethel, the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high places, he brake down and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of Yahweh, which the man of Elohim proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of Elohim, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they let him alone, and the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria, and all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke Yahweh to anger, Josiah took away and did them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. 23:21. Sorry, family, I just lost my place. I got to get back. 23:21. Hold on. All right, I'm getting back. All right, 23:21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto Yahweh, your Elohim, as is written in the book of this covenant." So we see Josiah is setting things right, okay? And I know I kind of started in the middle, family, but I'm going actually somewhere else with this. If you want to read a little bit more, you can go back and read 2 Kings 20:21 all the way up to 23 to get a little bit more of the backstory of where we are. But you'll see. You see where I'm going with this as I read on, family. Okay. Now, remember, what we just read starting in 23 is everything that's being torn down out of Jerusalem, which is in Judea, among the tribe of Judah, that were all in the temple. They were priests that were offering stuff to Baal, Asherah, the groves, which we found out that Solomon actually had done some of these things. So we right now we are having a long history of being disobedient and going against the Torah. All the things that were just read in Leviticus 20, Leviticus 21, 22, 33, 31 to 33, Deuteronomy 18, 19 to 4, all those things that he told us not to do, we find out that we were doing them, okay? So 23:21, Josiah came in, who was a righteous king, and came in and undid some of those things, and now is trying to restore some things. But it ain't going to last long. Just hold on. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim, as is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Yehuda. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to Yahweh in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Yehuda and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the Torah which were written in the book that Hilkiah the high priest found in the house of Yahweh." And 23:25, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the Torah of Moshe, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, Yahweh turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. So Yahweh didn't forget, even though Josiah did what he did, he's not forgetting all the stuff that Judah was doing up to this point. Judah was wild. Judah was doing horrendous things in the sight of Yahweh. And even though Josiah came in to correct these things, Yahweh didn't forget that easily. Notwithstanding, again, 23:26, Yahweh turned not from the fierceness of his wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And Yahweh said, "I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I said, my name shall be there." 23:28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And in his day, Pharaoh Necoah, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. So Josiah didn't last long. This is his son coming up, Jehoaz, right? Jehoahaz. 23:31. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh according to all that his father had done. And Pharaoh Necoah put him in the bands of Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and of talent of gold. So he's taxing the people, for lack of a better term. 23:34. And Pharaoh Necoah made Eliakim, hold on to that name, Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. So now, where we're starting to get introduced to Eliakim, who was then named Pharaoh Necoah to Jehoiakim, which we now learn in Daniel 1, who was reigned for 3 years before Israel was taken into captivity. Let's go on. Okay? And Jehoiakim and took let me read back to 23:34. And Pharaoh Necoah made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh. So we see now that Jehoiakim is Pharaoh's man. He's willing to take care of what. Now, these are both Josiah's sons. Jehoaz wasn't part of that program, but he put Jehoiakim in place because Jehoiakim, which was once named Eliakim, was with his program. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, excuse me, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. So he's taxing the people to get the silver and gold, the tribute that he wants that he's given to Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land and everyone according to his taxation to give it unto Pharaoh Necoah, his man. Okay, and Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebuda, and the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh according to all his fathers had done. Okay? Now, let's read some more about old Mr. Jehoiakim. We're going to Jeremiah 36 because Judah was given into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in the third year of Jehoiakim's reign, and we need to know why. Because from this point on, once we went into the Babylonian captivity, that was it for us. We may have had a few moments here and there where we bounced back, but by and large, if you don't believe me, then why did he give Daniel the dream, Nebuchadnezzar the dream of the image with the gold head, the silver body, all the way down to the feet of, he's letting it know it was all connected all the way down to this time. We are still technically in the Babylonian captivity. Because if that prophecy talks about everything that was going to be connected from that point on, where Nebuchadnezzar was the golden head, all the way down to the feet that were part iron and part miry clay, that was all connected, that means whatever was done back then is still affecting us now, and we are still technically, even though we may not have chains among us, even though we may not have to require to do certain things, we are still one under this Egyptian system, and we are still under this Babylonian system. Mystery, Babylon, religion. Let's not forget that. That's end time prophecy. So whatever they did back then is affecting us today. Jeremiah 36. We're going to learn some more about Mr. Jehoiakim. Once I find it. Jeremiah 36:1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, and when you get a chance, there's a book in the Apocrypha that Baruch wrote. Read that. Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was one of those prophets that even though we may not necessarily understand, remember, he was renowned. He was a very revered prophet among Israel. Even when Yahushua said, well, who do men say I am? They said, thou art Jeremiah the prophet. That's how Jeremiah was one of them prophets that because of the timing of his ministry and the truth that came to pass during his ministry and his time of prophecy, they revered him because a lot of what he said surely came to pass. And we're going to see that. 36:4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Yahweh, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of Yahweh. Therefore, go thou and read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth. Now, y'all remember from when we read the book of Jeremiah, they was constantly putting my man in prison. They was constantly trying to shut my man up because he was prophesying the words of Yahweh, and they didn't want to hear it. The leaders didn't want to hear it, and he was a young man called to be a prophet. So a lot of the hoary heads that were around it, they didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Why? Because they was caught up in evil. 36:5, and Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of Yahweh. Therefore, go thou and read the roll, but being locked up don't mean the word of Yahweh ain't going to get out. You can lock up the flesh, but you ain't going to lock up the spirit of that word. That word is going to go forth. Even if he has to send it to another messenger, his word is going to go out. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of Yahweh. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll, which thou has written from my mouth the words of Yahweh in the ears of the people in Yahweh's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before Yahweh and return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury of Yahweh hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the words of Yahweh in Yahweh's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before Yahweh to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of Yahweh in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of Yahweh's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of Yahweh, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard from Baruch, Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Yehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read in their ears. Now, 36:16, family. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. Now remember, he's sending a message from Jeremiah that came, that's espousing, that's bringing forth the words of Yahweh. And they asked Baruch, saying, and this is 36:17, and they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou, and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king, and they went into the court, went into the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words into the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. What did he cast into the fire? The word that came from Jeremiah, that came from Yahweh, that was written down by Baruch, which he did not want to hear. He cast it into the fire. This is Jehoiakim in his winter house. He got a winter mansion in the ninth month. 36:24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he should not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. He burnt the words of Yahweh. Do we understand what Jehoiakim did? Yahweh sent a message through his messenger, through another messenger, Baruch, which means blessed, Ben Neriah, the son of the light. The blessed son of the light was given a message by Jeremiah that came from Yahweh to write it down on a scroll to present to the king of Judah. And he ripped it. Let's go back. 36:24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garment, neither the king, nor they didn't have reverence. They didn't mourn over it, is what he's letting you know. That once the word of Yah came to him and he destroyed it, he had no remorse over it, is what, because when you rend your garments in Israel, you're grieving, your remorse, your irreverence. That goes to show the irreverence of the king of Judah at that time to Yahweh, his messenger. To Yahweh's word and his messenger. Again, they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he should not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. So they're like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. That's the word from his prophet, his holy word, from his holy prophet, sent through a holy messenger. They're begging him not to do this. This is the king. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamalek, and Sirah, the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but Yahweh hid them. So he going to kill the prophets. He was going to kill Baruch and Jeremiah, but Yahweh hid them. Then the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll. This is 36:28. Take thee again another roll and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. So he's like, like the mercy of Yahweh. And this kind of puts me in the mindset of what happened with the first set of tablets and the second set of tablets. See, the king destroyed the first scroll, but Yahweh's like, nah, I'm going to give it to you verbatim again, and I want you to bring it right back to him. He's going to carbon copy it and write it back, bring it right back to him. 3628, take thee again another roll and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath firm. Remember now, he's a puppet king placed in by Pharaoh Nechoah. He's the leader of Judah, okay? 3629, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, just thus saith Yahweh, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly... These are the words now, see? We ain't hear about the words. Now we're getting the details of the words that's coming. So now, when you read the details of the word that Yahweh sent through Jeremiah, through Baruch, that he burned, why he burnt it, and why he didn't want to realize what Yahweh had said to him. Okay? 3629. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith Yahweh, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Think Jehoiakim wants to hear that from the prophet? But when we read in Daniel 1:1, did it not surely come to pass? But let's read the prophecy. The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. 3630. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat. This is what he read. Now we know why he wanted to get, he took a penknife, cut it up, and threw it in the fire. Because this prophecy is against him. 3630. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. When we see now what happened, we see why Jehoiakim was like, oh no, I don't want to hear these words. Hold on, family. I got to get something else out of my notes. Bear with me. I'm going to skip over to... No, I'm going to read... I'm going to read 24. Okay. Reading 24 now, family. Oh, what did I do that for? Not 24. I'm going to... Jeremiah, forgive me, family. Jeremiah, I'm going to 36, going to 37. All right. Hold on. Sorry for the disbeast, family. I got to find my place again. Some reason my notes have failed me. All right. Yes. All right, here we go. All right, going to 45, family. Sorry about that. I lost my notes. All right, we're going to be reading 45 and 46, and that will be the end of this segment today, family. All right, Jeremiah 45. Forgive me for that. Had to find my notes. The word that Jeremiah spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for Yahweh hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, Yahweh saith this, Behold, which I have built, will I break down. That which I have planted, I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith Yahweh. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. 46, family. The word of Yahweh which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, army of Pharaoh Necoah, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish. Now remember, Pharaoh Necoah was the one who set Jehoiakim in place. All right? So now Yahweh's bringing judgment through the mouth of Jeremiah unto Pharaoh Necoah, and we'll see also unto Jehoiakim and to the children of Israel and Judah. 46:2, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necoah, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and shield, and draw near to battle. Harness the horses, and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish the spears, and put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back? And their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back. And fear was round about, saith Yahweh. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty men escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and his waters are moved like a river. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth. The Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. And for this day of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Elohim of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him and his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For Yahweh Elohim of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word that Yahweh spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol. So he's letting them know. He's letting Pharaoh Necoah know, and he's letting Jehoiakim know also that Nebuchadnezzar, who is now the one Yahweh is raising up, is coming to destroy both Pharaoh Necoah and the Egyptians and the Libyans and all his cousins that helped to subdue and make this alliance with Jehoiakim and Judah. He's letting them know, I'm raising up somebody now who's going to destroy you and all your army. Okay, the word of Yahweh, back to 46:12. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word of Yahweh spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph and Tapanhes. Say ye, stand fast, and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are they valiant men? Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because Yahweh did drive them. He made many to fall. Yea, one fell upon another, and they said, Arise, and let us go again to our people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They did cry there. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but annoyed. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is Yahweh of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter, dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for North shall be waste and desolate within an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh. It cometh out of the north. Also her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, but they also are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand because the day of their calamity was come upon them and the time of their visitation. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith Yahweh, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than grasshoppers and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded, and she shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of Nah, and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods, and their kings, even Pharaoh, and all them that trust in him, and I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith Yahweh. But fear not, though, thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith Yahweh, for I am with thee. I will make a full end of the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet I will not leave thee wholly unpunished. Now, when you go through the rest of the book of Jeremiah, if you want to take your time to do that, family, you can go through the book of Jeremiah and see that that Yahweh has pronounced judgment, not just on Egypt, not just on on Jehoiakim, but he pronounces judgment on the Philistines. He pronounces judgment on the Moabites. He pronounces judgment on the Ammonites. He pronounces judgment on Babylon. He even talks about the further destruction that was going to come to Babylon. The whole point was to show at this point, family, we're going to go into part 5 and part 6 in the next 2 weeks in a little bit more detail, just to lay some groundwork of how in the book of Daniel, Israel, the sons of Judah, the tribe of Judah and its kings ended up into the Babylonian captivity that we see taking place in Daniel 1:1. So, family, if anybody has any questions or any comments later on, we can discuss in detail then. But, again, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged us. We read that in Daniel 1:1. Hopefully, by Yahweh's permission, we will go some more into that in the next 2 weeks. But just wanted to lay some groundwork as to how we got here. And to be quite honest, when you look at the prophecy that took place or the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which was also a prophecy of the future and end times, that we are still under this system. Now, next week, with Yahweh's permission, we're going to go into the details of this system and what it has done to the sons and daughters of Judah. So, again, family, thank you for your patience today. Sorry about all the technical difficulties that we had, but you know, Yahweh's will was done, and we still got through with the lesson. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Almighty Yah. Hallelujah. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Baruch Atah Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Toda Abiyah. Thank you, Father, being with us today, Father. Thank you for helping us through the little storm, through the little glitch that we had earlier, Father. We don't know what happened, Father, but we pray that your word still went forth, Father, and that your will was done, Father. We ask that you hedge us up. We ask that you look after our brother who is coming forth to bring forth your word later on today, Father. We ask that you keep us from any hurt, harm, or danger, Father, and that you protect us in our travelings and those who may be staying home today, Father, that you keep shalom within their homes, Father, so that they can receive your word, Father. Father, once again, we thank you for your mercy, for your kindness, Father, and for your favor, Father. We ask all these things, Father, that you look after us. In the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Yahweh willing, we'll see you in a few hours and talk to you again next Shabbat, family. Shabbat shalom.
Sit back and stay. Remember my ways. Open like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave. Searching for some freedom. Searching for some freedom. So I'm tender. Sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? Spinning in space.
One time.